All right, so let's get to it, folks. Wednesday, August 4th, 2021. Another good episode of Dynamite. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, and like I said, I don't want to be one of those people that comes on each week and be like, oh my God, AEW, like the best thing since sliced bread. No, I just think right now, from what I'm seeing, they're like I said, I'm coming off of watching Raw. So it was like, you know, and I don't never really try to count NXT because NXT is going to get what you're going to get with it, but they always build towards good takeovers. But Raw is just be like, such a drag, you know, such extra. And then we get Wednesday and we get pretty much a great show. Not like I've seen better wrestling shows, but it was a great show. You know, like I said, I feel like, you know, Dynamite and SmackDown are like the best two produced shows weekly right now. We'll see what happens with Rampage surface. But I'm loving, you know, Dynamite. Love Dynamite tonight. Dynamite Homecoming, you know, considering I was thinking in my mind when they kept saying Homecoming, I was like, AEW might, you know, regress a little bit because they got a bunch of good shows coming out. And, you know, I mean, for the most part, it's not like they put on like a, you know, a banger show, but as far as what they were pretty much advertising, I love the show. You know, only thing I probably really didn't like was probably the legit Layla Hirsch versus the Bunny. You know, not just because, I mean, they did okay for the ring, but for what they're fighting for, I'm just like, you know, I can't wait for the day that, you know, Dynamite, AEW, because I feel like AEW right now, they're probably just giving other promotions exposure. They don't need to do the exposure, you know, like having other people on their product for them to get good exposure, because, you know, TNT is enough, you know, and them signing people and putting on great shows like tonight is enough. I don't feel like they need the Good Brothers, the Impact Tag Champs and all that crap. Even though I know they're telling a story with the Elite and all that, it's just like, you know, I'm just so sick to death of WWE having too many titles on their weekly shows. It's just, I just can't wait for the day that AEW just dealing with just their AEW titles, you know. But all in large, good show tonight. We started off with Chris Jericho versus Juventud Guerrero. Juventud looked good, you know, considering we kept hearing Shivani said, you know, and Sturgis in 98 seemed like fucking 50 years ago, right? You know, I mean, even though it was, over 20 years ago, that match, but, you know, hey, you know, I remember being a kid watching old Sturgis pay-per-views from WCW, like, you know, when, you know, Tony Giovanni kept, you know, selling it, I was just like, hey, fuck, I am in the middle of, like, watching 1998 Raw, and, you know, I'm dabbling between Nitro, hey, I'm gonna just click on fucking Sturgis tomorrow and watch the damn match, you know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, and obviously, you know, we wasn't going to get the 1998 version of both guys, but for what they can do, you know, what they still can do, because at this point, Chris Jericho is pretty much like the Ric Flair of AEW right now, where, like, he can, you know, he can still put on a good match, but it's just not the old Jericho. Like, we was not going to see 98 version of both him and Juventud, but Juventud looked good, you know. Almost botched the Hurricanrana in the beginning of the match, just about, but like I said, other than that, didn't have no complaints. You know, Jericho still knocking out his Labors of Jericho matches or whatever it is MJF got this son of a bitch doing. But next week he has to face, sometimes, like I said, you got to bear with me with AEW for a while, because like I said, I got to get the names down packed. Hell, sometimes I even get lost on, you know, names on WWE these days. So it's like, whatever. But he's fighting MJF's pretty much his henchman next week. You know, big son of a bitch. He doesn't do F5s, he do F10s. So, you know, hey, you know, it is what it is. Like I said before, like I said it before, I said it again, MJF is the best heel in the business, bar none. He can just get heat by just doing, you know, just by being a straight up asshole, being a dick. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I was a wrestler, I would personally want to just be like a heel, just because you can get away with so much shit. Like, you don't have to worry about the ramifications and none of that. And like I said, unless you 1998 Stone Cold Steve Austin, you get away with a lot of shit, you know, because, hey, it was what it was. But that was it was a fun match. It was nice to see Hoover 2 back. You know, it did kind of bring me back to the old glory days of Nitro. It kind of took me back just a little bit. Not all the way, but just a little bit. You know, kind of warmed your heart just a little bit. You know, I've never would have saw the day, like, when I was watching, like, stuff like this back in 98, that I would have looked at Chris Jericho or Hoover 2 as, like, the old veterans, you know. Because, you know, back then I always looked at guys like Hogan and Ric Flair, like, those are the old veteran guys. And now they're the veteran guys that's, you know, they still got something left in them, you know. I feel like I can see Jericho is having a lot of fun with this shit. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, he's smiling or anything, but it's like, you know, he's putting in the fucking work. Like, seriously, he's putting in fucking work. He ain't bullshitting you. Right. He giving you everything that he got. Okay. So, you know, like I said, I loved it. It was fine. Nothing bad to say about it. I'm glad they kind of got away from all the blood and gut stuff for once. Just like, I know for the past 2 weeks, almost, well, might have been three. Like I said, I've been pretty much just starting to get on the, you know, watching Dynamite real, like, you know, just every week. But it seemed like, you know, every week it was just like a blood and gore guts match. And they were just like, you ain't got to do it every week. You ain't got to do it every week. You know, it was nice to see, you know, them slow down the pace on that. You know, just slow it down just a little bit. We get it. We know we got some tough son bitches on that roster. We get it. We got it. You know, you ain't got to do it every week. You ain't got to do it every week at AEW, but we get you. You're definitely a different than WWE right now. We got it. It's a, you know, and, you know, Cody was like, we're not the alternative. You know, we're competition. I mean, for, you know, I like I said, who am I to say if they're competition or not? I will say personally, for me, I'm loving them more than WWE programming right now. I will say SmackDown is holding its own, because SmackDown is just doing everything pretty much different than fucking whatever Raw is doing these days. But, you know, AEW is definitely, for me, an alternative, and I'm loving it more than WWE. Just a little, you know, just a little bit, just because, like I said, you know, SmackDown will probably produce a good show. You know, SmackDown is more tailor-made for us. They make sense in stories that they're telling. So, you know, fine with it. I don't know if I'm going to do these matches in order. I mean, some of these matches might be in order. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I already gave you my thoughts on the Layla Hirsch and versus the Bunny match. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like they should just build these women up just to get Britt Baker a run for her money, because I'm going to tell you right now, me watching all three shows between what Raw, SmackDown, and Dynamite, and then we'll get Rampage. But I got to say three shows, because you got like what, three different women's champions. Like I said, I don't include NXT. Britt Baker is my favorite right now. She's my favorite women's champion right now. She can, you know, she can talk. She got the charisma. You know, she can wrestle her ass off. You know, she's the full package. I know people are like, well, what about Charlotte? Yeah, but Charlotte's been that for years. It's time for like another, you know. And like I said before, she's definitely got that arrogant confidence factor down. It kind of reminds me of like 97 Shawn Michaels, you know. Like they kind of, they can kind of pull that shit off just a little bit. Her and I keep forgetting the lady she with. Remember when Triple H just come out with the crutch and shit and just do like promos with Shawn, like late 97, early 98. That's kind of how Britt Baker kind of reminds me of, like that Shawn Michaels, that asshole, but you know, like she can back the shit up because like at the end of the day, she know she in her mind she feel like she's the best. Time will tell. You know what I'm saying? Shawn already knew he was the best of what you call it. Like she Britt Baker do have some, you know, competition. You know, her and Thunder Rosa can go for a couple of good matches. That's why I was kind of irritated with the whole, you know, NWA Women's Eliminator match tonight. I was just like, wait a minute, whoa. So it is like we were getting Red Velvet. I had to scale back just a little bit because it kind of got me confused just a little bit. I was like, well, they gotta, and then, you know, do they have another champion? And I'm like, oh, okay, I see the lady in the daggone side, in the crowd. You know, it's like, oh, okay. I kind of wish they stopped doing that shit. You know, Britt Baker, DMD, should take on all comers. You know, like right now, like she is. I'm just saying, like, you know, the Bunny and Layla and all them, they can be like building up towards like a future match with Britt. Because like right now, I'm loving her, and I can't wait till next Friday. I gotta wait till next Friday to see this lady wrestle in the ring against Red Velvet, which, you know, I'm fine with that too. And I'm actually warming up to Red Velvet more and more as I see her. So I'm looking forward to that match on next week on Rampage. That'll be fine for me. I can't wait. You know, I'm warming up to these women. You know, it's like as much as I'm like looking on Raw and I'm like, I'm kind of like, you know, losing hope. And fucking Nikki Cross, it's just like I gain a little bit more hope with like females that you see on, you know, on AEW and Jade Cargill. I'm just like, yeah, you know, she's that bitch. What you just kind of love it. It's just like, yeah, you know, they just want to build towards something. I get, you know, I'm just loving AEW right now. Lee Johnson versus Miro, but Miro pretty much destroyed this guy. I mean, Lee Johnson did get offense, you know, he did get offense, but their build of Miro is like how WWE should have had him built. It's just like, you know, he's a monster. He don't give a fuck. You know, he's killing people in the ring. You can see where they get a little offense in on him, but then it's just like, no, I'll take it right away. You know, they'll build up to somebody real, you know, give him a real run for his money too. But this is how WWE should have built up Miro or Rusev, however they wanted to call him in WWE. Because I'm like, yeah, dude, like, he murdered Lee Johnson. Like, I felt bad for him. Like, I felt bad for him, like, when Bobby Lashley beat the dog shit out of Kofi Kingston at Money in the Bank. I just felt sorry for him. It was like, if I would see Kofi, like later, years down the line, I wouldn't even ask his autograph. I just asked him, is he okay? Right now, this man probably still eating his meals through a tube because Bobby Lashley beat him so bad. Lee Johnson is the you know, that guy that got it the same way tonight. Got his ass kicked. He did get some offense though, so he's definitely, you know, they definitely did it the way they made him show, you know, signs of life, you know. But yeah, it wasn't no match for Middle, you know. So I loved it all. I loved that match. We had the trios match: John Moxley, Eddie Kingston, and Darby Allin versus Danny Garcia in 2.0. I kind of figured where this match is going to go as soon as you know, they announced this match. I kind of seen it, you know, coming. I did like the fact that, I think, what was it, Eddie Kingston was beating the hell out of somebody in the corner, was stomping the mud hole, and you can see John Moxley just looking down at the guy like, you like that ass whooping, don't you? You know, they pretty much, you know, I mean, it was kind of competitive a little bit, but, you know, they pretty much destroyed them. One of the guys was staring down Sting. Like, well, no, two of the guys, I think, might have been both guys from 2.0, they were staring down Sting. Like, they was like, oh, my God, it's really Sting. And then Darby Allin just came out of nowhere like a fucking Mack truck Like, as little as he is, he came through that shit fast. I was like, oh my God. You know, it was a good match, fun match to watch. I don't know. Now, I'm going to get to this match real quick. Christian Cage versus The Blade. It was a good match. You know, the result being that since Christian Cage won, he is now the number one contender for the AEW World Championship. I'm hoping I'm getting that right, because like I said, they got titles upon titles on this show, but I'm quite sure it's just for the AEW World title, because he's undefeated, you know. But like, Miro's undefeated, so that doesn't even make they're like, that right there doesn't even fucking make me, you know, I don't even care. Like, Christian Cage jumps up and is the number one contender, but Miro's been there long, and I think Miro's what? I gotta look at his record. I don't know. I think he is more than Christian's, though. And I'm like, the fuck? You should have him, you know, whatever. You know, sometimes wrestling wants to make sense. It's like, you know, that's why I'm kind of like upset that they're doing this whole, you know, record thing. I know they're trying to be different and try to make it where wins matter. Well, if they do, then a lot of other people should deserve a title before Christian Cage. Case in point, I don't want to see Christian Cage get a title shot. That's just me, personally. Because I was like, you know, what does this do for Hangman Page? Because I'm, you know, I'm warming up to this guy too. Like, just cool, you know. You got no choice but to just like the motherfucker, right? It's got to be a story that's got to be told. You can't just like take him out like that, you know. I know they say he lost and everything, and wins and loss don't matter and everything, but that's why I was just saying, like, I wish that they would, like, kind of stop doing the whole record thing, because that's where storytelling can really come in, and AEW can get real creative, because they don't have to, you know, hold back on storytelling. You know, I'm not saying they got to do titties and ass and Vince Russo it up, but AEW kind of beat to their own drum. They can kind of do how they can do how they want to. They can do what they want with these storylines. So, you know, I mean, you know. It's fine. I'm kind of mad I'm going match by match, but it's only easier to do it this way for AEW, because right now they're not really doing, like, they're doing story, like, it's like they have storylines to be told, but it's like, you know, more match entailed. That's why I have to go matches by matches. But how everything ended tonight, they might really start going more deep into storytelling. I think I went over pretty much everything but the last match. Right, yep. Which gets me to Cody Rhodes versus Malakai Black. So, I didn't call first of all, this is how much, you know, I was not paying attention to the time. Okay? Because as they were coming out, it must have been like, you know, I was thinking, okay, this is going to be a back-and-forth match. This should be good. And I'm just thinking in my mind, I'm like, why would they waste this type of match on AEW? They could just do this like a pay-per-view type match. Like, the feeling of it, you know, as Cody Rhodes was coming out and, you know, Malakai Black. And Malakai Black pretty much destroyed Cody Rhodes. Like, he worked on the leg. Cody tried to go up to the top. You know, Malakai Black knocked him off. He went straight through the table. You know, and then as soon as Cody got back in, it's just like, you know, he black masked the shit out of Cody. I was just like, oh my God, it's 1, 2, 3. He just stepped on him. I was like, okay, he's not going to win like that. He won like that. And pretty much the biggest thing that happened tonight was Cody was about to hang his boots up in the ring, and Malakai Black, you know, hit him with the damn crutch. Because it was kind of like the retirement speech. So how they can go about this, they can easily, not saying, you know, because I know they probably like, we don't want to copy anything from WWE, but come on, wrestling is always doing things to, you know, replicate themselves, you know. It kind of got me to thinking, let me just get off of this page right here, because I don't need that no more. It kind of got me to thinking, like, okay, remember when, like, in, what was it, 2002? Like, after Undertaker fought Brock Lesnar in Hell in a Cell, and he was in the ring. And he was talking like he was about to retire. And then Big Show came out. right? And kind of like interrupted him. And then, you know, long story short, he threw Undertaker off the stage and Undertaker was gone for like 3 months. They can probably do a story told like this. And see, you know, Cody, what I love about Cody is he do not, I respect him because he pretty much like, you know, for all intents and purposes, he, you know, not saying he's the only guy involved in, you know, making AEW what it is, but pretty much his brainchild, damn near, right? He just, he got help from his friends, but it's kind of like his brainchild. He don't want to be in the limelight, but Cody Rhodes got to see that he can, he comes off as you can really pull off this sympathetic character on TV, but he don't never really want to be on the limelight. Cause right now what we got is Cody Rhodes might not be on TV for a while because they might have a story that's being told where, okay, he did that. Now Malakai Black might go on a fucking tear and just start, you know, kicking the shit out of every fucking body in his path, right? So, you know, which might build to something even better. Like Cody might be, you know, going crazy because he just cannot get over the loss. Right, because let's be honest, like when I was thinking about it at first, because Cody can pull off sympathetic real good, but in the back of my mind, I was like, he can't. No, Cody Rhodes ain't gonna really hang up the boots. Because come on, now, Cody Rhodes hang up the boots. Like Cody is not even like he. Ain't, I don't even think this man really scratched the surface yet, pretty much for what he can do, right? And I feel like he at one way or another, he's got to hold this AEW title at least once, right? like I know you don't want to be Triple H, but come on, you can never be that guy. We know you're not gonna be him, but you gotta hold the title at least once. He's pulling it off. He don't want to be in. He pulled off the sympathetic character to me, you know. So it screams he's going to be down for a minute. Then he's probably gonna come back with a vengeance, ready to tear Malakai Black's head off, which is gonna lead to a real good blood feud. Right, like right now it's already a blood feud, but it's gonna get even more, you know, grittier than what we can anticipate. And, you know, we haven't had those in a while. Like, you know, we had them. Like, we had, like, recently we had, what was it, Kenny Omega and John Moxley, you know, even though we know how that kind of ended. But at the end of the day, they did have a nice blood feud. Cody Rhodes can really, I feel like, the way he, you know, goes about promos and everything, they can really pull this shit off. You know, so, you know, it screams good feud. And unless Cody Rhodes will apparently only be gone for not too long. But like I said, you know, I think this is about the setup for a storyline. Like, this is, should build to a nice storyline. But they should start doing it. Like, that's why I said I'm hoping the whole Christian Cage versus Omega thing, that might just be a blow. Hopefully that's one of those matches they don't waste for a pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? I hope that's like for like with the Chicago show, you know, for Rampage. They might just give him the title shot then. You know. But Hangman, you know, it's gotta be a story told with Hangman. Cause they, you know, the Elite beat the shit out of Hangman tonight. The Hangman told Dark Order he ain't want no more help from him. It wasn't nothing like malicious to how he told him. He was just like, I don't need you guys help no more. I feel like I'm holding you guys back and, you know, stuff, you know, pretty much stuff like that. But yeah, you know, this, you know, the Malakai Black stuff was awesome tonight. I didn't call for Cody to lose like that. That was actually a fucking shocker. I was just like, whoa, wait a minute, what? Like when it went 1-2-3, I like, he's not going to pin Cody like that. With the foot on there, that's a little, you know, come on. No, he did. Like, oh, okay. Like, you know, one thing you gotta love about Cody, he's one of those guys that seem like however he wanna put you over, he's gonna put you over, even if it makes his character look a little more weaker. But like I said, I just feel like his character just come off a little bit more sympathetic, in my view. That's in my view, you know. People might look at it a little bit more, that's just me. I even felt a little bit more, you know. And like I said, I know it's wrestling. I know it's storylines that need to be told and stuff like that. There, I think AEW can go a little bit more better with the storylines by the simple fact WWE is doing such a horrible job at telling stories now. you know, but, well, on the Raw side anyway, SmackDown not so much. But, you know, it's something to be said when you know that wrestling is, like, premeditated, but, you know, it kind of hits you just a little bit. You're like, oh, he about to retire? But you kind of know he not, because, like, come on, Cody can't retire. Come on, man. He still got a lot left, like a whole lot left. It's not like he's Chris Jericho. Like, if Chris Jericho was doing it, I'd have been like, okay, I can probably believe that, you know? You know, Cody doing it is like, I just can't. No, not right now. You know, not saying Cody ain't been through any wars or nothing. He's been through wars, trust me. You know, I love Cody Rhodes. I loved him before WWE. When, you know, even when WWE was, like, feeding him plates of shit when he was there, and he was pulling off pretty much everything that they gave him, he pretty much, like, nailed it. I was like, that's what you call a guy turn chicken shit to chicken salad. like, here's a plate of shit. Okay, well, I can make it look like a 5-course meal. That's Cody, right? You know what I'm saying? They fucking told him, I'll fuck you, you're Stardust. Wait a minute, what? You know? Even at one point when people was, like, thinking, okay, he's got to be in run for, like, about to build for that title match. And it was like, no. I think I remember one time it was like an actual segment in the backstage with him and Triple H. And I think Triple H was doing this whole, like, this random time Triple H and Stephanie was doing the, you know, the authority thing. And he was telling Cody something in the back before Cody was leaving out the arena. But you could tell Cody Bryant was really looking at disdain at the guy. Like, you piece of shit. Trust me, I'm not here to bash WWE, though. I'm just loving the fact that, like, there's not just one company that I have to watch anymore, though. Like, seriously. Like, I've been trying to find, like, a little bit of alternatives for the past couple, like, for years. Ever since WCW went out of business. Like, oh, okay, TNA should be that spot. TNA, it seems like they'll bring you up, and then they seem in a way to take you right back down. You know, even though TNA was definitely way different. You know, six-sided ring and all that. And I was just like, I kind of get it. You know, I find it, you know, fascinating. Then they tear you right back down. It's like, ah, God, like, damn. I hope that's not AEW, though. I hope AEW's around, like, for years. Like, seriously. Because I'm loving it right now. I'm entertained. You know, it's definitely fascinating to see what the hell they're doing. That was definitely a shocking end to that match tonight. You know, I haven't really been that shocked off of a match. And it wasn't like really like a, I'll say a draw dropper. It was just one of those matches. It was like one of those endings to a match where you're like, oh, I did not see that coming. You know, I don't think I've seen anything like that since. And I ain't talking about WWE poor taste in your mouth shit either, because we can talk. You know, people could probably be like, well, what about Bray Wyatt losing to Goldberg, you know, a couple of years ago when he was, you know, he's the Fiend, he was the world champion. No, that was just stupid. That was just, it was more of like, what? That was more of a head scratcher, more than anything. Probably Goldberg spinning Brock Lesnar within like, what, 30 seconds and beating him? Probably the last time, but that was probably it. You know, because you always get those moments where like somebody win the money in the bank or something like that. That's different, but like, you know. Let's talk about like in an actual one-on-one match, you know. Like I said, let me not get started. Seriously. Speaking of Bray Wyatt, you know, because I'm kind of off of the AEW Dynamite stuff. Because like I said before, you know, AEW talks is going to get real good. I just can't wait for Rampage to debut. It's going to be fun, right? You know, I think they're going to get more story. Like I said, they're going to get more in tune with themselves once Rampage come. I think they're just trying to, you know, okay, don't worry about it. Wait till next week, next Friday, pretty much, because they're going to trade water on next Wednesday. So don't everybody be alarmed if next Wednesday is not pretty much a great show, which I still think it will be. But they're going to be saving a lot of shit for next Friday because Rampage is the debut. And then we all know where they're going to be at the week after in Chicago on the 20th. And I got a lot of shit going down that fucking whole weekend, pretty much. What we got, the night before SummerSlam, we got SmackDown and Rampage, and then we on top of that we get SummerSlam, which means AEW probably is going to try to knock a home run out the park with Rampage and Dynamite pretty much. And then we got TakeOver. And then on top of that, I've got my fucking Madden 22 game coming. So and I'm just waiting because I already pre-ordered it. It's just got to download. I'm going to just wait up till 12 o'clock and then press the download button at 12 and then go to sleep. When I wake up, I can play my shit. But speaking of Bray Wyatt, I was thinking about it. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not even mad that WWE let him go. Because they, you gotta look at it like this. With it screams the fact that Nikki Cross might not be with this company for the next year. Like, I don't be surprised if a lot of people that you see on WWE TV right now are not there by next year. Let alone probably at least by WrestleMania. And the reason why I say that is because the whole purpose of because people probably was thinking in their head, like, why in the fuck did Nikki Cross even suggest to do this Nikki ASH almost a superhero crap? And I was thinking about that too. And then guess what happened? Bray Wyatt gets released. So then I was thinking about Bray Wyatt today, and I was just like, you know what? You know, Bray Wyatt did all he can with the character. You know, it's because it's pretty much his brainchild, and he pretty much aced it every time, you know. And as it seems like every time them characters get, you know, he has like a bright light when it comes to the character, and you're looking at it like, oh my God, this character is taking a turn for the good. WWE make it take a turn for the worse, right? You know, and like I said before earlier in this show, case in point, you know, he's the Fiend. Like, you know, the Fiend came in around what was that 20? Was that 2017? The Fiend? I think that was 2017. Whatever it was, whatever summer he came in, he was pretty much like revamped. Because before then, they kind of like what they do with Bray Wyatt. After they brought him in as the Eater of Worlds, and, you know, he used to be creepy and rocking the rocking chair with the Wyatt family. And then, you know, it just seemed like after he lost to John Cena a few years, like, 2014 at the WrestleMania, they pretty much, like, made him digress year after year after year. And then I think he had that crazy-ass match with Randy Orton at WrestleMania 30, what was it, 30, they was in, where the fuck was they at? They was in Santa Clara, right? They was in Santa Clara. I forgot what year it was. WrestleMania 31, I think. It was WrestleMania 31, right? 2015. And pretty much what you did was you had all this crazy shit going on in the ring and people just looking like, what the fuck is going on? You know, and then he had a robbery with Randy Orton and all his other stuff and blah, 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 blah. So then what do you do? You digress them a couple year after year after year, and then Matt Hardy comes in the fold, and everybody was just waiting for him and Matt Hardy to at least have some type of rivalry, because you got what? Delete, and he had the Eater of Worlds. You know, then they called him what? The Deleter of Worlds, and they made them tag team and all this other stuff. Long story short, a character like Bray Wyatt should not get lost in the shuffle on any level, period. You know what I'm saying? Not trying to compare it to The Undertaker, but that's like you know, The Undertaker character is becoming, you know, the best thing, right, on TV. And then what do? You just have him get lost in the fold, and you just, you know. Matter of fact, that's like if you would have brought Sting in WWF in 1998, and everybody wanted to see Sting versus Undertaker. And what do? You give them a match that's like a one-off, and then you know, you put them together, and then you call them what? The Scorpions of Darkness, like something stupid. And then you kill both guys off like that. You know, this is like, what the fuck? Right? That's kind of what you did with Bray Wyatt. It was like you could have had his character become even higher, but you just kind of like, you know. So then I think he was off TV for a while, and then they revamped his character. He came in as the Fiend. He was murdering shit. He even became a Universal Champion. And then Goldberg comes in and he spares him and he takes the title. And then that's pretty much like, okay. And I think they said they did that because they didn't want him to fight John Cena for no titles at the WrestleMania, which we turned around and that WrestleMania didn't really mean shit because COVID hit and all this other stuff. And then you try to revamp his character again by doing all this, burning him alive in the ring and all this other shit. Then you release him. It's like WWE purposely do this to people. And then on top of that, the Brody Lee stuff didn't help none. But you messed with, what WWE does is it seems like they messed with the psyche of the guy where he's like, okay, I feel like I'm getting this character somewhere, but then they're not liking it, so I gotta regress it. So what can I do to make this character better? Because Bray Wyatt's probably sitting there like, what can I do to make this character better? And then you get to Nikki Cross, which was my point with the Nikki ass shit. Nikki Cross, the whole her being deranged and lunatic and all that other stuff, I loved it. I felt like that could have, you know, it was like a different form of a female wrestling on their show than what they usually tap with, and they didn't do anything with her. And then she's in the backstage like, okay, they're not using me. I got an idea. I want to be almost a superhero. She don't fucking know. And then it's like she met herself halfway with it. She told him almost a superhero. And Vince probably laughed and said, okay. And then he gave it to her. And now he gave her the title. But now they gave her the title, but they don't know what to do with it now. Like, what do you do? Because she's going to get lost in the shuffle, folks. Because I said this before, and I'll say it again. And news for you, when Becky Lynch comes back, it's all she wrote. Because if you think Becky Lynch is not going to go right back to the top of the mountain again like she was, you're dead wrong. Because Becky Lynch is the alternative of Charlotte Flair. Because not me, but people hate Charlotte Flair. They treat her like John Cena. And Becky Lynch is like her, you know, pretty much her CM Punk, pretty much. Like, she's the alternative. People are going to love the fact when Becky Lynch comes back. So Becky Lynch is going to automatically go to the top. And Nikki Cross is going to get lost in the fold, and there you go. They took a good character that Nikki Cross was, because she was, like I said, a lunatic. She was deranged. She would do anything to win. You know, she didn't give a fuck. And then they turned her into almost a superhero. It's like, okay, and I'm happy she's got the championship and everything, and I know right now she's on cloud nine because she has the title, but they don't know what they're doing with her right now, and they about to like take a real good backseat on her too. She's like pretty much done. Like, I feel like the nail is in the coffin for her. I just wish they released her so she could have been on her own future endeavors, and she could have went to AEW and they could have did something correctly with her, probably. I don't know. And I hate to be that guy that's be like, okay, well, just release them so they can go to AEW. Because I don't, you know, hey, some people, it just don't work. But I think Nikki Cross has talent. You know what I'm saying? I love the character. I love her. But WWE just don't know what the fuck they're doing with her. I don't think WWE know what they're doing with pretty much anybody these days. If you're not Roman, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. No ill will against Roman, though. Just saying. just something I was thinking about earlier today. That's all. Just trying to figure out what the hell is really going on. Show not going to be too long tonight, folks. Let me check any more NFL news real quick. And then we'll, you know, trying to figure something out here. Hold on real quick, folks. So, like I said before, nothing really major as far as NFL news go. I will say, I'll be doing a couple of NFL or football related episodes this week. I'll have a show up Sunday because I'm gonna watch the NFL Hall of Fame. You know, got a couple of guys I love going in. You know, Calvin Johnson, Megatron, Peyton Manning, one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time. I say one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time. Okay. And Troy Polamalu, you know, pretty much like, you know, I don't want to say if he's number one or number two, but one of the two greatest safeties of all time. And it just happened that the two greatest safeties come out of like the Steelers Ravens rivalry, because Ed Reed is like the other great safety. You know, if Sean Taylor was like lived long enough to had a longevity career, then we would have been talking about a 1-2-3 punch. You know what I'm saying? Because like when he was like alive and was at that position, he was just like fucking flawless. It was like ridiculous. But Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed, probably the top two safeties ever, coming out of the greatest rivalry in football ever. I'll get into that. I am going to do a show tomorrow. Got a Hall of Fame game tomorrow. This game is pretty much, like I said, I know it's for the Hall of Fame, and they're going to be pretty much going through. They're going to be pretty much interviewing the inductees. Oh, and I forgot to say, I don't think Troy Polamalu will be there, which is a shame, because I think last week they said he came down with COVID, so that's kind of going to suck, because he got to do a speech from home. That's fucking suck. That's going to suck, because I actually like Troy Polamalu. Like, you know, he gave me some of the like best fucking moments in this damn Ravens and Steelers rivalries. Like, seriously, like, awesome shit, right? Yeah, I will go over the Hall of Fame again tomorrow, because I'm gonna actually try my hardest to watch it. You know, because I know most throughout the game they're gonna probably try to cut. They're gonna cut away. They're gonna interview like the inductees and even some Hall of Famers that already got inducted years past and stuff. They'll be doing that. But I'm actually going to check this game out to see how, like I said before, the Steelers, you know, look, how a couple of their draft picks look, and the Cowboys. Because, like I said, I watch all phases of teams. I definitely want to see, like I said, like last night I said, want to see how Dak looks as far as his movement with his feet, you know, see if his ankle can still hold up. Because part of his game, like I said last night, is his footwork. You know, so, you know, he's not, like I say, he's not Lamar Jackson, but he can escape, you know, danger if his pot, like if the O-line, you know, cracks in, you know, that they got some cracks in the O-line and they can't hold up. He can get out the pocket, you know, he can get out the pocket. So, you know, he's not a stationary target. He ain't no Tom Brady. He can get out of there and still throw. It's pretty much how the rest of the week going to look. So I'll have a show tomorrow, pretty much trying to go over the game. Show probably won't be too long because it's a preseason game. So I just probably the show probably one of the shorter shows I ever do, but I do want to go over it. And probably some NFL news too. Not really no NFL news pretty much today. You know, probably the same like yesterday. Like you said, Colts probably still trying to figure out the QB situation and stuff. Nothing pretty much changed. Oh, I did see the Carmelo Anthony signed with the Lakers. So now we see the Lakers are starting to build a foundation around their big three. So, like I said, that's going to be very important for the Lakers to do in the next, I'm going to say, few weeks, because I think their season starts in October. So I'm going to say a few weeks, because like I said, next month is September, right? You got to figure October is going to be here like that. So they got the next few weeks to figure some things out. I even think they starting to advertise preseason games for NBA. They got the Lakers versus Miami soon for like, I don't know if it's preseason or if it's something like that, some crap like that already, because the season just ended. But it's like, you could tell why it just ended, because they're trying to get their flow back as far as COVID went. So they, you know, because they want to get their finals back, you know, to how they used to get them back in June. So that way they can get the flow back. So they got no choice. So I get it. So they got the next few weeks to figure some things out. Other than that, though, and then like I said, a lot of the guys are still playing in I think the Olympics too. So, Maybe he can eat some of those guys that they're on like actual contending teams. Maybe you might want to rest them up earlier in the schedule. You know, use them later. Cause like, if I was an NBA player, I'd be like, look, I don't think I'm gonna do Olympics this year. Maybe when the next go around, because we got a season coming up like right in October, folks. Like, fuck you. But yeah, you can see the Lakers probably starting to build the foundation around their big three, because they gotta compete with the daggone right now. Like I said, the Nets is the favorite. I do think the Lakers can make it to the finals. Their obligation is they gotta compete against the Nets. And like I said, this is all the whole if everybody's not hurt, not injured, or wanna bitch about what game they wanna play this week, you know. You know, I'm not gonna say they're my pick. I'm gonna put it like this. Right now, my pick to win the NBA Finals next year is going to be the Milwaukee Bucks. Only because of how they've done things and they can stay healthy and everything. And like I said, we got other teams that's getting better in the NBA, folks. Like, you know, all this, you got to figure the teams that's building super teams, they're trying to be the, we got to win right now. Yeah, you have to win right now because you got like Utah Jazz. They don't have to really necessarily build a super team. They got a team. They got a young, hungry team. You know what I'm saying? The Denver Nuggets, the Atlanta Hawks, you know, teams like that that don't, that's not necessarily super teams, but they're going to be contenders next year. So, and the 76ers is like not even like in my conversation right now, because like they like the past four seasons they've been a disappointment. So it's like, fuck, like every, it's like they supposed to make it to the mountaintop and then they can't, you know. And you would have thought they'd took advantage this year by them being the number one seed in the East, and then they suck. Ben Simmons a bum. I'm sorry. Other than that, though, that's pretty much all I got. Like I said, great show for AEW. Congratulations to AEW for keep putting out these shows. And I'm telling you, these future shows are about to be, like, on point. If you want to listen to me, hold on. If you want to listen to me, you can listen to me on anchor.fm/myopinionblack, #_=. I don't know why that's got that right there. That's just like I said before, if you want to listen to me though, I'm being funny, folks. If you want to listen to me though, you can definitely listen to me on anchor.fm/myopinionblack, or you can just download the Anchor app, or you can listen to me on Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, and that's pretty much it. They had another thing right here, but that's just nothing. Don't worry about that. I will be working back on the whole YouTube thing, because I do want to do that. It's just a lot of, it's like a thing. It's a thing with that. You can definitely go on Facebook and find me under John Stern Jr., but you'll see the My Opinion logo as my profile picture, or you can find me on Twitter under My Opinion, and you'll find the My Opinion logo, and I'm pretty much going to be all over the place on Twitter more than Facebook. That's just pretty much if you want to follow me. I'm on Twitter now, so I did make the Twitter, folks, like I said, so because I'm trying to get these shows out there, I'm trying to be heard. I love doing this. It's fun. It relaxes me. You know, even if I don't have a ton of listeners, it's fine with me. This is relaxing, like really relaxing. Other than that, though, folks, you have the safe rest of your night. I'll be back to do another show tomorrow about the little preseason Hall of Fame game tomorrow, and I'll definitely be doing a show on Friday. Other than that, though, folks, I'm out. I should not have no shows over the weekend. But for the Hall of Fame, I'll probably just go over the Hall of Fame. And that's if, you know what I'm saying? That's a big if. I might go over the Hall of Fame during the Raw, because like I said before, with Raw, it's like I might just start doing Raw like, you know, okay, I might mix it with something else, because I can't just talk about just Raw by itself no more, because Raw is not never that exciting. And I know this week coming in, it's damn sure not going to be exciting. It's not like it's the go-home show for SummerSlam. I'll think about it, though, because more likely I might just start doing, you know, I might take the Mondays off for as Raw go, you know, for now, until Monday Night Football starts up, and do all-in-one NXT and Raw. It depends. I'll figure it out, because like I said before, it's just Raw. But all the other shows going to remain the same, though. You know, you'll more likely get a show on Tuesday about NXT. Unless, you know what, I ain't even going to mix it up like that. Until Monday Night Football starts up, I'll just start doing Raw mixed with NXT on Tuesdays. And then when Monday Night Football come up, I'll just talk about Raw and Monday Night Football. And then I'll do NXT review shows on Wednesday once Monday Night Football starts up. You know, so until now, that's just until then. Because like I said, I can't just do Raw by itself. It's too painful for me. Okay. So, but other than that, though, folks, I'm out. Everybody have the rest safe for your night. And I will be back tomorrow to talk about the Hall of Fame game.